Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast to make your story-driven campaign better. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Steve.
So, we hope you're all enjoying Spelljammer Adventures in Space that came out on Tuesday. Steve and I will hopefully have a review of that soon. We usually have it, like, the Friday, so, like, tomorrow, if you're listening to this when it gets released. But, yeah. If you're coming here after ignoring this episode and listening to the Spelljammer episode, welcome. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Today we are talking about keeping character options open, which is kind of an offshoot of the set we just did on dynamic characters, but it's not quite that, right, Steve?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's also kind of hard to, I guess, really describe too. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, keep your options open. It's like, okay. But like, what does that mean in like RPG terms? Like, you know, how does that relate to your backstory? How does that relate as a GM running a game? How does that relate to your in the moment role playing, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today, like as a whole?
Yeah, because generally having too few options means you're a static character.
Yeah.
Like I would say usually, I guess I could imagine scenarios, but I don't think I could codify one, like, yeah. So it tends to be good. It also can be a little scary, right? You're putting yourself out there. You're going, well, that's what I don't know. And then your GM's like, good. And then they do horrible things a lot of the time.
I believe if you have a character that is very narrow in their options, then that requires more on you, the player, to be able to go outside of your comfort zone. Like, there's not going to be a lot that your GM's going to do if your character is like, I mean, I guess if you had a narrow character, it's like, what does your character do? It's like, well, they were raised as a child to be an alchemist, and then they were shut in a room and told to learn alchemy, and that's all they did. Actually, I think there's an anime for this now that I think about it. And, you know, that's all they do until they reach adulthood. And then they, you know, like, as soon as they, like, decide to, like, leave their home for the first time ever, that's the first time seeing the world outside. It's like, yeah, you can have a very static character, but I feel like even in that situation, the GM could use something like the world, like the wonders of the world and how that relates to, like, the things that they've been studying and stuff in a way. But if you have a character that's, like, very focused on one thing, then if everything your GM is doing to, like, maybe pull you over to relate to somebody else or to get involved in certain aspects of the game, that's more reliant on you, the player, I feel like, most of the time than anything else. Otherwise, it's like, oh, yeah, here's this, you know, great plant that you've never seen before if you're this alchemist that's been, like, stuck in a closet forever. It's like, well, do I find this interesting? Do I not find it interesting? And you have to, like, decide, okay, well, I've got to get excited because tree, I guess, you know?
I mean,
I don't, that's not a bad example, but I mean, obviously you're not going to have like, oh, you could have a tree.
Well,
be a plot
it's
point.
Not a bad example. I mean, honestly, as far as backstory ambiguity there, like you've kind of left the, like, why were they thrown in that place?
Yeah.
Why is alchemy important? Why were they required to learn alchemy? And it's presumably to have at least some of these questions answered before. But you'd also want to make sure that, like, you know, if you did want some of those questions answered, you should answer them in your backstory. Kind of where I guess you should start. What do you want in your backstory? What do you want to be a mystery? Because I feel like backstories are for important information. And I feel like the players should be able to say, hey, don't mess with this part of my backstory, please. And I think that would be fine. Because, you know, everyone's going in for kind of a different experience, at least slightly. So, yeah.
If you're a GM, especially if you're like a new GM, if you're a seasoned GM, you probably already know this. But if someone spends a good deal of their backstory talking about one specific thing, that's probably something that's important to their character. So before you say that, like, oh, well, this character isn't doing this, this character is doing this other thing, then, like, talk to them about it and make sure they're okay with the changes you need to make that fit into your world. Like, for example, Kevin took one of the characters in my Silent Spiral 2 character's backstory and made them a little more nefarious than they originally appeared, but they weren't, like, a major part. I mean, they were a major turning point for my character, my backstory, but it wasn't something that was that I, like, wrote a lot about. So I feel like that kind of gave Kevin, the more seasoned GM, the clues needed to go, oh, okay, yeah, so I can do this and this with his backstory. That, and he knows me as a player, so that's another thing.
Well, yeah, that, and you honestly wrote her as...
Yeah, I did.
Kind of a main villain, and I crossed her with... I made her the same character as someone from our friend Trong's backstory. Check out the Mecha episode. That was 105 a couple of episodes ago, if you haven't. He guest starred. But...
the popular
I kind
one.
Of... Yeah, it's a popular... It is. It's going hot. It's hot.
Much to his dismay.
Exactly. But I put them together and I made them the same character. But both characters were kind of written, at least from my interpretation, to be, okay, they're going to be this villain. They're villainous characters. So that kind of gave me, you know, the license. That's what I was looking for. So depending on what light you put the character in when you're writing your backstory, that also gives, like, the GM, okay, like, what can I do with this? Like, what can't I do with this? And I usually ask my players if I'm doing, like, a fun little, oh, your father figure who raised you with love and tenderness, who you really care about. Oh, they're the main bad guy. I would definitely probably not spill everything, but I'd definitely be like, hey, how would you feel if I did something really, really drastic with this character? You know, I would hope that's the relationship that one has with their GM. Also, unless you really, really put some freaking character shields around them, they might die.
Yeah.
They might die. So, yeah. And that's just kind of backstory ambiguity, right? In general, that's the way it goes. It's what you do. That's what I do when I read my character's backstories. The whole point of a backstory is plot hooks. What dramatically can I do? Right?
Yep. And kind of like figuring out like what the character's like thought process is and how they might solve a problem or interact with something that you had planned as like a major event or something down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that in mind, I think this episode's more about encouraging intentional ambiguity, like literally kind of writing in holes that you want your GM to fill. That came out dirtier than I meant it to.
I don't think it was until you brought attention to it, but all right. At least for me, my mind didn't go there today.
Okay. Every episode is as episode 69. No, I think it's because I wrote that in the script a little earlier and I like changed it. So I was like, oh, and the holes really need to be filled. And I'm like, you want to delete.
Is that why you deleted that section that I didn't see that we're not talking about?
No, I had changed that earlier. I changed that before I sent this to you. But before I changed, admittedly, the short outline that we had, this is Steve's baby. This episode, I'm pretty sure conceptually and a lot of what we're talking about is Steve's baby. So,
oh, is it? Okay.
So it is.
Oh, okay. I was like, I may have like added like half of it, which normally I go off the top of my head. The talk is usually Kevin's, but
true.
Oh, okay. I'll take it. I'll take the credit. Not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. Whatever the fuck that means. Who the fuck made that analogy? Or the fuck you would call that?
It's about the status. So you check the horse's teeth to make sure it's like healthy and in good condition. So you like don't want to overly examine. Like, okay, never mind. No one. Okay.
Okay. It's an old timey thing.
It's a horse. Yeah, it's a horse thing.
Okay, got it. So
welcome back from that sharp cut. No, I'm not kidding. So yeah, I think the main thing for writing your backstory, if you're thinking about it in kind of this backstory ambiguity way, is to both illustrate the things that are really important to your character and leave things fuzzy that you're more interested in exploring or exploring with the GM or having a conversation with the GM about, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be like something that's like, oh, I don't know how to, you know, cover this part of their backstory or how that relates to the world, and so I'll leave that blank. Like, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. You could be like, well, I can think of like three or four different things and be like, okay, well, I'm going to leave this up to the GM for whatever they want to fit in. That way they can like puzzle piece it into place. And then that way, while I'm playing, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, yeah. Maybe option and one, then, maybe option 12.
Or answer D, all of the above.
Oh, God. Those are sometimes the best slash worst, depending on the player versus the the character's perspective.
I mean, I've definitely been known to do that.
Yes,
I had a couple options. It could be this, it could be this. And then I'll let them think I've chosen one, and then it's actually like all of them. So really depends.
Now that I think about it, like one of the best examples of this is the disadvantaged devil's pawn. Is that it's like to describe what that is.
Yeah, explain it first.
Yeah. it was a disadvantage in Kevin's system that I forget if that one was in Legend of the Five Rings 2 or if it was just a good one that was in Legend of the Five Rings.
I can't remember. Definitely took the ones in the game Legend of the Five Rings, and I gave them steroids, and yes. Then I tortured them, and then I set them free on my players. No, okay, yeah. But go ahead, explain what it was.
Yeah,
explain
but that. Essentially it's a disadvantage, so like a opposite of a feat. Essentially it's a detriment for your character to give you points, but what it did is it made it so that your character could not die. And you would think that sounds horribly broken. Why would everybody not take that? And the reason is that your character is doomed to do something absolutely horrific. You just have no idea what it is because you are literally the devil's pawn. You are in the palm of their hand and they're going to do something that's outside of your control. So,
yep.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like one of the, like the best things you can take as a new player. If your game system has something similar to this, just because like it creates this weird situation where you don't know what's going to happen, but at the same time, you're kind of like, oh man, I wonder when that's going to come up. I wonder what everyone's going to say. Are they going to be pissed at me? It's like, you're going to get lynched by the party. Like, what's going to happen?
And so. I had one that was the opposite. You're destined to do something good, and it costs like a bunch of points. And you can't die until you do the good thing. And man,
that was not as interesting.
It wasn't as interesting. And after I had a game where like four players spent the points on that, I was like, okay, I need to put some like I need to raise the point cost. I need to like do something to like I'm actually potentially going to remove it. Entirely, because I kind of hate it.
Can I make a possible correction for that? I know this is like an outside of this topic, but briefly.
Sure.
What if you made it something like you get the, instead of being like immortal, you get like some special item or spell or something like that, and it aids your character, but once you fulfill your destiny, it goes away, like permanently.
Hmm. It's similar to other stuff. Yeah.
I was thinking oh, you got the Master Sword. You start with the Master Sword, but you'll have to sacrifice it to do something that your character like needs to do as a asset. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that is tough. That is a tough one.
I feel like
yeah.
that'd be something entirely different.
That might be something entirely different. Yeah.
I mean, I've arranged for stuff like that with other things before, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that was something that M was going to have in your last Leon game with his sword, but.
Anyway, no, that digress. Was just that was just a broken sword that he wanted that I was like, okay, but I'm putting a curse on it.
As you should.
as all GMs should. But yeah. So put in what you want, leave out also what you want. I guess that's a lesson from the start of this. very weird, but it makes sense. I also think another fun thing is having a character think things went down one way, but they actually didn't. This is another change that can be made in backstories. I'm usually a little bit more hesitant Like, I'll definitely ask, like, hey, I'm going to do something, like, really messed up. Like, your character thinks something, but they don't actually, like, know what happened. Yeah, but if you write it in for your GM, they like that. They like that quite a bit. And it can be the same thing, especially 'cause then you have your character giving the other player characters information that is in fact incorrect. And that can, you know, that can cause some of that, hopefully that good drama that we were talking about a couple episodes ago.
True.
So
That could be something like having your character witness like a traumatic event or be involved in a traumatic event, and they're not exactly sure what happened, because a lot of times when a person goes through an intense trauma, like their adrenaline's pumping, they're only thinking about, survival, maybe the care of another person important to them, something like that. Like, your mind focuses on a few things, and then everything else is just kind of hazy. And so you might kind of like think of like, oh, I remember this. And so your mind goes, okay, this other thing must have happened. And then now you're taking something that actually happened and like extrapolating on it, but that's all like imaginary. So don't be afraid to take something like that and like run with it if you want to, because then that gives the GM a lot of options. You could say like, this is what my character actually saw, and then this is what they believe they saw. And then kind of go from there. And then the GM has like essentially like it's like writing a GM a blank check. So
A lot of things are like writing a GM a blank check.
true. Devil's pawn.
Yeah.
That's a real big blank check.
So, yeah, I think offering the GM some options is a good idea. Like a good option or a bad option. And honestly, with like I said, with a lot of these choices, your GM's going to pick multiple. Your GM's going to be like, "Ooh, how can I make multiple of these work and maybe throw in still some fun surprises." So, yeah.
Also on good and bad like options for your character, you can also do it in the aspect of like, I want to have, let's say, a contact that my character can go to. Maybe you have two. Maybe you have one that's like friendly and will always, like help you. They won't charge you anything, but they're not exactly like super helpful. Like maybe somebody that would like take you in and lie that you're not, like home type of thing. But they're not really like resourceful towards a whole lot. But then you have, your bad option, which is probably very useful, but there's a cost. I feel like something like that, and you might be like, well, that's just, like me putting in something in my backstory that's like an asset to my character. It is, but you don't have control over something like that, because as a contact, that's a separate NPC. That's something the GM and control and manipulate as they need for their game, and they can give or take as much as they feel that they need to for what they're offering you. So that gives them a little bit more control, but it also gives you the option in the moment to do something like, okay, do I even want to rely on any of these people? Do I even want my party to know about either of these people? Like, maybe I'm really protective about one of them. Or maybe they're just, it's really, really bad to go see one of them. So I have to like minimal, like make that choice very, very few. And you have to make that choice in the moment. It's like, is it worth it to do this or not? So.
Yeah, and another thing, backstory NPCs fall into the GM's control right after you hand them the finalized backstory.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens to them is a little, up for grabs. They have their own stuff going on that the GM is hopefully working on doing some stuff with. you'll definitely know if you're like, oh, I want to call on this NPC. You'll definitely know if your GM forgot if they're like, ah, yes, let's go to someone else and we'll come back to you. Maybe take a break in between then. Ha ha. So, yeah. So just, be aware of that. And GMs, be aware of that. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say like it kind of goes along with what we talked about with one of our, not one of our, but one of your players in Ecliptica, is he had way too many NPC characters that didn't actually add anything to the backstory. They didn't really give any like ability for Kevin to manipulate them in such a way that would like drive that person's character, aside from, oh, they're dead. That's like really the only thing they could, he he could do with it. Like, oh, you can make him, you know, involved in this organization or that organization. It's like, but then he's basically like writing everything about them. And then might as well just be a random person that he made up on the spot, you know, like for what he wants, rather than like picking a name and an appearance and like a personality, I guess, if that's all they are in your backstory. So try and use like strong characters as NPCs in your backstory that like aren't going to be, you know, main roles.
It shouldn't just be, well, with that one, it was just their relationship to the character.
Yeah.
Like that's,
they're very one note. Yeah.
Yeah. If I got that character from one of my players who knows better, like if it's a new player, like work with them. But if I got that character, I'd be like, ooh, I can do whatever I want. This is great. They have like sort of an appearance, and they just have a relationship to you. Okay. Okay.
And then, time to have one of their arms ripped off and replaced with a cybernetic limb. And
only an arm. I see you're talking about if I was feeling very kind. Good.
Yeah.
But any other backstory stuff before we move on to role playing?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, just don't be afraid to have, you know, like things that your character doesn't know in your backstory or things that your character is looking to discover, and provide your GM any, you know, details on ideas you may have had for that, so that they have something to kind of go off of. They can get a better idea of like what you were imagining with it. If you're just like, oh yeah, there's this guy that's following me and I don't know who they are in your backstory, then it's like, well, okay. I mean, you put that person in your backstory, but can you give a little bit more detail on like what they do, or, you know, maybe why you think they're doing that, or suggestions? Because that's such a blank slate that there's like nothing to work with. So what the GM comes up with may not be what to your liking. So just explain what you want. And I think that's about all I have to say about backstories, but yeah.
Yeah. So role playing.
Yep.
Now, honestly, if your GM's running it right, you might have too many options for role playing. I've definitely been like, hey, so this is how things are. And my players have been like, what? And I've been like, fucking go. So if you have a new crew, you may need to prompt them a bit. If you are a new player, you can do a lot of stuff. As long as you aren't like wholesale trying to like make up a bunch of stuff off the bat, but you can like ask stuff. Like if you want something, like ask, hey, you know, are there any potion shops here? Hey, do I see any of the town guard? Hey, does anyone look rich? All these are fair questions and questions that your GM will answer in probably levels of embellishment that are attuned to their interest in the question. So also be aware of that. Although some GMs just have like really cool ideas or really cool images pop into their head, and then things become way more important than they are just because the GM had like a really great moment of like inspiration.
Yeah.
But that can be fun too. So
true.
On the other side
of that, for a GM, like especially as like me as like a newer GM, something that like I made the mistake of before, like a couple of times, is you might be like, I have all these options for my players that I have designed, and they're all there, but I'm just be like, you walk into the city, what do you want to do? Like,
yeah,
you may have a bazillion things, but sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah. Prompt. Sometimes they need some prompts, and be ready for some prompts. Generally, people remember the first thing and the last thing you tell them, so those might be like the most like flashy things. And then you can slide some stuff like right in the middle, if you want to be extra sneaky.
See if they're paying attention or not.
Yeah. But generally, I feel like characters go in and there's like a lot undecided. Like there's still, you have your backstory, but that like, man, that's the past. I even usually like to have characters very much so like starting anew, so that their past is more baggage. But that's one way you can kind of keep things a little bit open, is to kind of try to have that like fresh mindset. Try to maybe have a character who's like going, maybe even going against their own nature is something interesting to write in. So.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Like, it's better to have your character in a situation where they're like, okay, well, I was a thief. as like my backstory, you know, like that's like all they did. Maybe they got into a lot of trouble. They spent some time in prison. They've, you know, had to eat like stale bread for weeks at a time, because of it. Maybe they've had some highlights and stuff like that, but now they're just like trying to calm down. And so they're just going to go to the tavern, you know, where a lot of games start. And they're just, you know, in a new town, they're not going to steal anything. They don't have any interest in that. They have enough coin in their pocket to get a buy. They're just going to kind of travel and, you know, see some places and stuff. And that's all they want. They just want to relax. You know, something like that is a new, like, fresh palate.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be that drastic. It can be something as simple as, I was really tired of everything. Fuck all that old stuff. I want to start new. Like, it really does. It really can. Now, looking back on my last couple of characters, I generally tend toward more of what Steve said in the first instance. Just to enumerate, one of my characters may have killed all of her friends shortly before.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other one got exiled and enslaved before the start of the session. So, yeah. And then I guess the other one for the short game was more of a, I want to start my life fresh, go to the big city, be in a band, join the town guard. It's going to be great. That was for a mini series, so that character was less complicated. But yeah, like, there's a reason why so many stories start with someone, you know, a stranger enters town, a kid goes off to school, someone new comes in and changes the environment for, like, a set environment. Like, that's the reason for these things. So, yeah. And then, of course, there's always the fun split-second decisions and consequences. I feel like as a GM, I've definitely let characters take back some of their initial, like, I'm going to do this. But sometimes I don't. And I always try to say, the stupid stuff maybe gets a take back. The interesting stuff doesn't. And that's just going to be up to your GM. That can also lead to a very quiet table after a GM says something. But maybe... I don't know. I guess my pitch is sometimes just go with your gut. go with the fun option. Like we said last time.
I feel like sometimes this will just come about naturally too when you have, as a GM, just because you'll have players who are, you know, taking way too long to decide on how to do things. And so you just have to, like, we've mentioned it before, sometimes you just have to be like, okay, you know, time's ticking. Like, while you guys are deciding on this, this stuff is happening. And then now they have to, you know, hurry up and make a decision because you need them to progress the game.
Oh, well, I was talking more from the player perspective.
Oh, yeah, from the player perspective. I just mean, like, I also want to include the GM in here because, like, I feel like this is a two-way street, like most everything.
Fair.
It requires a little tug of war on both sides. But...
Yes. And remember, compromises leave both sides unhappy.
True. on the player side of this, too, is, like, on the side of, like, what I was just saying with the time restriction... is sometimes you might just be like, well, I can, you know, we can sit here and we can discuss these like 17 things because like our characters can speak telepathically or whatever. Then, you know, like we can like take our time and just like, you know, act like a supercomputer and come up with like the master plan in a matter of like seconds while this person's waiting for us to like respond to them. But then you're like, actually, no, wait, no, we can't do that. I'm just going to, you know, like it makes more sense for my character to make a split second decision here. I'm going to say yes, whatever the fuck they want to do. Yeah.
Or if that happens and like the players go back and forth a couple of times, usually I'll like let it go for like a not too long. Don't be that cruel, GM. But then I'll be like, you, yeah. They said something and you missed what they just said. And they're looking at you expectantly. Like,
oh, yeah. Those are awkward some moments. Of that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. There's also, of course, the, I don't know, I like to say the GM opportunity, right? Where they're trying to convince or coerce your character to do something that's against their and we'll just want to go out and say morals, but it usually is morals. to do something outside their comfort zone, you know, it's stuff like that. And I don't think players should always have their characters, you know, do that, but I do think the GM's offering it for a reason, so, you know, go with them and give them shit if you hate it afterward. I've definitely given shit and gotten shit. So
true.
Yeah.
Just because your character has things like that they're always going to do, either whether it be habits or, you know, desires that they have, or, you know, something that they can't control doesn't mean that as the player, you can't decide that they're going to go against or try and go against those things. So like, we've talked about before about how Rios in, so many games, Avant Noir, got really depressed and he decided to stop drinking and go sober. So that was a habit and that was like a huge detriment that he had as a disadvantage, but I left that open. It's like, oh, he's always going to be drinking. He's always drinking. But maybe sometimes there's some times where he doesn't drink, you know? So keep those options open as well, because it can create like a unique situation. Like, why aren't you doing the thing that you always do? It's like, you're the thief. You didn't steal that thing. It's like, nope. Why? Like, why on earth didn't you take, you always steal. Like, we have trouble. Like, every time anything sparkles even remotely, whether it's like a crappy dinner plate, you steal it. Why the hell didn't you steal that gem? It's like, oh,
I'm not gonna lie.
Reasons.
I'm not gonna lie, Steve. You just did this freaking the last Sentence Spiral episode.
Did I?
I was expecting you specifically to they found an NPC from the previous, because we're in the second like version of Silent Spiral.
Yeah.
Steve's playing a legacy character who recently came back from being captured by an enemy for like months. And they just found their final friend who was lost. And I was expecting you to get more up in that character's ish than you did. Just so you know. Because Ray, Steve's character, is like, he's not just a detective in like job. He's like, I need to know. I need to find out, and I need to make sure
to
that everything
fault.
Is
yeah.
just, yeah. And he didn't. He like took, admittedly, he listened to like an NPC you should listen to in my games.
True.
But yeah. So yeah, you just did that.
I mean, there was actually also a reason behind that too, which is actually another thing, is that like, don't just do things randomly, like have a reason why you're doing these things. So like in that instance, the thing was that this character that returned that they hadn't seen in a long time, we've literally seen them strangle people like Brock Sampson in Venture Brothers, you know?
Yes. Yes, they have.
Like, I'm not, and this person doesn't remember who they were anymore. And so like, why are you being all creepy? I don't know you people. Can you please leave? I was not going to wrestle that bear.
Self-preservation is a strong instinct.
Yes, yes. So there was a logical reason for doing it too, in addition to NPC reasoning. It's like, you know what? That's a good idea. Yeah.
I can hear Monster laughing already, because it's our friend's Monster's legacy character who they found.
Yeah, he's just like, wait, the thing that made you not, you know, go after my character and try and pursue it was fear?
I mean, yes. speaking of character options, keeping character options open, I presented this twist, and I hadn't checked with Monster, and Monster literally was like, okay, I want you to tell me as little as possible about this whole situation, because I dig it. So he still doesn't know. But like, really, he knows slightly more than you got, than the entire party right now about his own character. So, yeah. And hey, if you have a crew that's okay with that, or you're a player who's okay with that, dude, it's so much fun.
It's a blank check.
Yes, it is a blank check.
You get to do what you want and have all sorts of fun. Yeah.
But yeah. The next two things are yours, Steve. Trump card.
Oh yeah. So I was like, man, where are we? <Let's talk>.
We've just been shooting the shit, man. Welcome to our just casual conversation. Much. Welcome to our, what is this now? Sixth fake podcast. Kevin and Steve just ramble on about stuff. Nah, that's just our regular podcast. Who am I kidding?
But yeah, so thing I put on here was the Trump card or last option. And kind of what I'm referring to on this is like something that your character has in their back pocket that they're saving, you know, for a unique moment.
The monkey paw option.
A
Sorry,
monkey paw.
Whenever I'm with Steve, I'm like, his last option is always the monkey paw option that will literally probably blow up in his face, but he still really wants to use it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be something that has like a intense drawback. It could also be something like, I can't remember. It might have been your Cthulhu Tech game. I was like, wasn't there a situation where, oh, I know it was Burrito Land. We had earned a boon from somebody and we got one use of this boon, but you know, you have to decide when you want to use it. So, but once you use it, it's gone. Like it's done deal. So it could be something, you know, beneficial. It doesn't have to be something that's negative, but it, whatever it may be, it's something. It doesn't have to be an item either. It could be like a favor from a person, or it could be, you know, like I have this one random chance. We could go to this, you know, other dimension and try and find an answer from this being I've never met, but I think I know how to talk to him. We can see, you know, it could be literally anything, but it's like that one thing that you keep in your back pocket for like the worst possible situation. And then what that causes, you may be like, well, it's, you know, I get to choose when I use it, right? It's like, yes and no, because the thing is the GM is going to have to decide, you know, like, I'm going to poke you with this. You're going to use it? No? Oh, good on you. All right. Let's try again. A little bit later. We'll come back to that. You know, they just
next
keep poking and prodding.
Next time will be worse. but yeah, so, and that's what you're talking about, the IOUs as well, the trade-offs.
Yeah, the IOU is very similar, which is the next one I was going to go over, which is essentially like, I will do this, but you owe me a favor. So you may be able to get something like now from an NPC, or, you know, maybe if you're really good, you can convince the villain to go away. but there's
happened.
A cost to it.
Huh? Look. Fantastic Four helped Doom defeat his master, a.k.a. get the crap beaten out of them, leaving him open to stab his master in the back, and then he doesn't kill them. It's a two-way street.
I mean, those are the kind of IOUs I would hope to see, but yeah, those are, I guess that's an IOU. It's like, I could kill you, but I'm not going to. Thanks.
Yeah.
See ya.
I mean, I think having very powerful characters in a game is super interesting, as long as your characters are very afraid to ask them for anything. And I've been almost too successful, honestly, in both Silent Spiral, where the NPC is actually quite friendly and does a decent bit, but the players kind of know that they can't push it with her. And then in Sad Star Story, where they're just terrified of her. Some of them already had to get something. And actually, aside from Steve's character, who's very happy with the deal. but they're like, oh, man, this character is just this is OK. Yeah, sure. This alien, we know. They look at me and they go, it's an Eldritch Abomination, isn't it? And I go, oh, yeah. And they're like,
you don't know me.
So, yeah, I guess it's more of a, well, that's a tip to GMs. And then for players who have GMs like that, you should, even if it's like a dire critical thing, I think players should use it just to, you know, poke the plot box, smack the beehive, you know. I don't know. Maybe that's just me as a player. Yeah. Okay, who am I kidding? That's me as a GM.
I don't know. You got to use what assets you have as a GM sometimes.
It's true. It's true. Sometimes you got to force your players to punch the BI. Oh, man. I honestly, oh, man. Anyway, so anything else on the role-playing side of things? I think that's what we wanted to say about, like, options.
Right? Yeah, I think that covers most of the options for role-playing, yeah.
Yeah. Mostly just to try to make dynamic choices to overuse an adjective, but... So next up, next up, and I don't want to spend much time on this, is min-maxing. Yeah, we literally, episode 21.
So long ago.
Oh my God, it's so long ago. So first of all, I think that episode was good, at least from what I remember, and I looked over the notes. If we're a little more awkward, it's episode 20, that's like, it's like 80. Some episodes ago. It's basically 100 episodes ago for us. So forgive our early podcasting, I guess, is my thing there. But yeah, check that one out. I think the big things from it are, make sure your character also isn't like hamstrung in the like abilities department. Definitely try. I know the common thing is either social like dump stat or physical dump stat, and like try to mix it up at least a little. Try not to go for like one thing, one big thing. Try to pick like, I would say three things. One that you do the best, one that you're pretty good at and one that you're okay at, and, you know, go from there. If the system allows, some systems, especially depending on how stringent your GM is, you get like two, but still.
Yeah.
There are no answers to everything, so don't try. And also don't be that player who's like, okay, all right, so my answer to the social situation is we're going to kill everyone. Like, you're not. Trust me, you're not.
All right, so. M.
Yeah, no kidding. I think that was literally his answer to some social.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, it sure felt like it.
But also, as Steve has been so kind to point out, your weaknesses also allow interaction with the between the team, between other players. And that's good, right?
Yep. Essentially, like, if you have a character that's really good at one thing and they're not so good at, you know, a handful of other things, then that allows someone else to solve a problem that your character can't solve, which you might be like, well, then we all have, once we have a party, we have all of our bases covered, right? But the thing you have to keep in mind is that, you know, like, maybe I have, I'm going to go with super simple example here, so I don't want to spend too much time on this. But you have, your character has like this special box that they stole from some rich person in their backstory, and they can't open it. They don't have the key. They don't know how to pick locks. They don't trust anybody. But, you know, you have a rogue or a thief in your party, and you're like, you know what? You know, they can probably open this up. You know, eventually you're going to come to trust them to the point where they're going to help you out by opening that up, and you're going to find out what's inside. So things like that is that it adds interaction.
And they're going to be okay with going to back to you for something.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, you'll be able to help them out with their problems and such. So it builds a better team.
Yes. Especially when the characters hate each other.
Especially when they hate each other. Yeah. Real quick on this topic too, is like, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but don't just do one thing, because then that means that, like, you're not good at everything else. And then you have a party that has to
stand in there.
Yeah, you're just going to be staying there a lot of the time. It's like, well, is it my time to, like, roll essentially a 20 in everything I roll for this one thing that I do good, if it's, you know, combat or, you know, convincing somebody, something like that. You know, if that's, like, your one thing, that your shtick, then it gets kind of boring and it creates a dry party. So that's why you wanted to, like, divvy out a little bit and have two or three things that your character's good at. That way, not only do you have more of your bases covered as a party, you're more... like strategically sound. I don't know how to describe this. My brain just shut off there.
And from the GM side, players should have the ability to, like, talk about what they're doing. Like, GMX a million years ago, we've talked about this before, wanted to have a game, and this game actually never ended up getting played because we were done with him by then. But he was like, no, I want you, no one to talk to one another. You're all going to be on a spaceship. It's going to be like Firefly, if anyone remembers that show. And I want everyone to just make a character and then come together, because it's going to be more real. Like, people don't happen to, like, fit. And I, to that, I was just like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It is. And that's how you end up with, like, a ship that has seven pilots.
Yeah.
And it's like, great, only one of us can pilot it, maybe two. What do the other guys do?
And even at the time, I immediately went behind the GM's back and was like, hey guys, this is stupid. We should talk about what we're going to do over here. And then just, oh, wow, huh? We ended up with, like, a pretty good, like, team. Because that's stupid. That's really stupid. Sorry.
Yeah. And that was that would have been the game after the game where there was two of us that made rogues that were like, we're going to backstab some stuff, and we're trying to find backstabs, but he wouldn't let us have backstabs.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about
Be
before,
aware of what your players want to do. God damn it.
Yeah.
exactly. Which I think leads us into our next section of GM adding ambiguities. And I think I've already talked about most of this. Look for the places in the backstory where there are, like, holes or time jumps, or create backstory holes. Spoilers, this is the part that sounded dirty to me when I originally wrote it out. but basically, yeah, you're looking for places where you're like, okay, they left this ambiguous for me, hopefully. Or, oh, there's like a weird jump here. This section's very unclear. And if you're not sure that the player's, like, okay with it, like, ask them. You don't have to tell them everything. They might have a few clarifying questions, and the specificity of your answers may or may not depend on how willing they are to, like, say yes, but, you know, go for it.
True. It could just be that they, you know, accidentally left a part out. It's like, oh, wait, I didn't think about that. I was just kind of like stream of thoughting under the character or under the backstory sheet. And that was about it. So,
yeah, a lot of times backstories are like first drafts, too. So,
yeah, it's always easy to forget doing a second draft of it.
Hey, guilty. Re-looking over my original backstory, I gave the commie for Salvana. I was like, wow, this is, he should have had more questions for me than he did. And be sure to give players avenues to solve their problems. Like, definitely read through and think about it, and don't just read it once. Maybe even take some notes. Like, yeah, right, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to go through a backstory and, you know, not take notes on stuff. I mean, if you're the type of person who can remember everything, then good for you. Congrats. I wish I was you.
Well, I was more referring to, like, it's hard for us not to, like, get ideas and take notes. It's very easy for GMX not to read the backstory and ignore everything in it.
I'm not going to lie. Out of the stuff that we were just talking about on this episode so far, I already have notes for my game. I'm like, oh, I didn't think about doing this. This is something that I should totally do. This will be great.
Good.
It's not good for the party, but
good. I think you had something on not forcing players to take action, right? Are we just gonna go?
Yeah,
sometimes you gotta roll the dice.
Well, the thing that I wanted to say in regards to not forcing your players to take action based on something you provided and let them, like, use their own options is that, like, if you're like, okay, well, I have one NPC that knows this thing that they need to, you know, go to this next location they need them to go to, and they have to talk to this NPC. I mean, you can do that to where, you know, they have to, like, eventually talk to the NPC and get the information, but, you know, like, try and let them, like, brainstorm stuff and don't be afraid to let them, like, come up with other solutions sometimes, especially if that NPC is, like, an NPC that's going to be talked to once and then that's it. Or if they don't have something that's, like, really, really important that specific person has to be the one to tell them, then, you know, like, let them come up with their own ideas and let them find their own NPCs if they don't want to talk to that person, or if they can't find that person or whatever. You know, if they have a better idea, like, oh, let's go to the library and dig up the history and find, you know, the path to this place that we need to go to, then, you know, sure, let them do that. Let them have those options. Don't close those doors for them is kind of what I wanted to say with that. Yeah.
Yeah, having only one way to do something is bad. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's
going
to create very stale, very on-the-rails games. Your players, once they get to a certain level of sophistication, will sense the rails. They'll feel how, like, bound they are to the rails, and it will drive them insane, especially if you have a player who's, like, GM'd before. So,
yeah. That's not to say that you shouldn't have, you know, like, set options built into your game for, you know, the characters to go and find. You should definitely have those, but you should have more than one. But, like...
Yeah, honestly, literally last session was actually a Star Wars game. Like, I presented options based on, like, player roles and, like, what they were doing, and they chose not to be greedy, so it went well for them.
I really wanted to be greedy, though, but...
I know you wanted to be greedy.
Wanted to find the wheelbarrow. Just take all the things.
I know you did, but you couldn't. At least not without Zowie freaking bloodbathing. Jesus.
Yeah, true. Shame. We should have let him.
But yeah. And as far as that, like, sometimes you do want to have your players, like, roll the dice, right?
Yep.
Randomness is there for a reason. Don't be afraid to not have randomness when you don't want something to be random. Because every GM's done it. We've definitely all had those roles where you're like, oh, roll that again. I mean,
yeah,
I guess
true.
I'm also saying this as the person who rolled a 1 on a D100 last time we played, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now you'll all be able to identify when we recorded this if you want, because you can just go to Twitter.
Oh, did you post something about it?
Yeah, I posted about it.
Oh, okay. Congrats to the 1%.
Thank you. @RO Imperfection. listener. We'd love to hear from you or get comments or criticism.
True.
So, but yeah.
Or random chance too. You don't just want to think about it from the GM's perspective. It's like, oh, the characters are rolling dice. They're going to decide on stuff. Like, also think about sometimes you're like, I don't know what I want to do here. And it's not like a really important decision. I just need to decide something. Let me roll a dice or flip a coin to decide whether I do this thing or I don't do this thing. Like, sometimes you're just like, I don't really know. My character would always do option A. You know, maybe I want to do option B. And then once I, you know, if I flip the coin, it says option B, then figure out why my character decided that and then move on. Especially if it's something that you like need to make a decision now so you can like move on with something. I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. I've done it. I don't do it a lot though. So I wouldn't recommend a character that's how they base all their choices. Like, don't do Two-Face.
You know? I mean, I think all my players do it. So yeah.
Yeah. There's also, something that I feel like helps a GM sometimes, and oftentimes ends up resulting in a, NPC that lasts, because Nick definitely, did this in, your second Spiral game.
Yep.
And we've talked about it before, but that's essentially saying, you know, I know that we can go here and we can talk to this person or we can talk to this other person, but I don't really think that fits, or my character doesn't think that fits. And so we need to go find somebody else. So can I find somebody that meets these specifications and like tell that to your GM and then give them the ideas of, you know, like who they're trying to find or what they're trying to find. And then your GM can try and figure out how they can fit that in and they can make something up.
Yeah, or jury rig an NPC they had planned or half had planned, or a one you already know but you don't know the side of them. Those are all things you can do. You don't need to just always create a new thing. You can sometimes expose like new dimensions of old things or alter things that you had in mind. I mean, that's why I always recommend like just a character bank just to have, because
yep,
your players are going to do stuff and like you can't plan for everything. So if you have like a bunch of characters that you can just like pull out and like just kind of, you know, they're dolls. Just dress them up however you want. you put in the personality voice box you want and you just shove them out there. And then, you know what? The players sometimes eat them up.
If you're a very like improvish person that can come up with stuff on the spot, then maybe just to give you that little bit of like a nudge to help you make up something random on the spot, is maybe get a dice. I know that you had those dice that had like
astrology
signs on it.
Yeah, what's your sign dice?
Yeah. So, and I think you had like letters and stuff like that to decide like maybe like the start of the first letter of their name or something, didn't you? Or
yes, those dice that always ended up on freaking wild for some reason.
Yeah, that's kind of frustrating. Maybe get one that doesn't say wild on it, just has letters.
Yeah.
But like the example I wanted to provide for this was that Kevin has a character in his Silent Spiral game called Veronica. And yep, she's kind of like our go-to magic person. It's like, I don't know what's going on here, but it's magic. What are we going to do? We're going to talk to Veronica. But the thing is that like if we had something that was magic in nature, but it wasn't like her type of magic, she deals with more of like, at least from our character's understanding, more of like your typical magical item. But if we ran across something that was more of like an eldritch magic item, that's something that's like, you know, otherworldly, maybe she won't know anything about it. It's like, well, just ask her. Well,
honestly, it's been more often that they've gotten something and they're like, oh, well, we could take it to her. And she's like, no, I don't want that. That's trouble. I don't want that in my
yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that there's been so many times where she's basically been like, you brought this into my house. How dare you?
Yeah.
That I could totally see us coming across something and be like, no, she's going to fucking kill us if we bring this anywhere near. We need to find somebody else.
You guys have already done that. You guys have already made that exact calculation. I've trained you well. So yeah, and don't forget, your NPCs can refuse GMs. They can definitely refuse to do anything.
True, true.
Players may be annoyed, but you know what? That's life.
Yeah, that's what players are for. They're for being annoying.
Yeah. I actually think this is a pretty good place to segue to next time.
What are we doing next time?
Next time, hopefully, we'll have a surprise guest. Next time, we're also doing adapting a character from an existing property. Now, I've touched on this before, like a million years ago, but I wanted to go over it specifically character-wise and specifically in depth. And now I feel like I'm going to need to talk both about Veronica and about bogey art.
Yeah.
I'm sure bogey art is a complete mystery to all our listeners as to who I may have ripped off for him. But they'll find out next time. What a twist.
What a twist.
But yeah, but... take it away, Steve.
Okay. So yeah, remember to play what you love. And until next time, your characters do something epic.
Even if it's something they might not do normally.
True. Yeah, you know, choose the other epic thing or the more epic thing or maybe the slightly less epic thing and let someone else do the truly epic thing to let them have a, you know, a spot in the or place in the spotlight. What I was going
or
for? Yeah.
The less epic thing that leads to several more epic things. Mm-hmm.
Mm, there you go. Chain epic.
Oh, God.
Combo off.
Combo.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast to make your story-driven campaign better. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Steve.
And yeah, we are that was really shit. Cut.
Delete first cut of the episode. Got it.
Burn it all down. I got through the intro and I was just like, fuck, I don't know, man. He's Steve.
You just fire out those intros too. It's like, okay, clap. All right, here we go.
Yeah,
and
man.
And then after the intro, you're like,
gotta get through
them.
Gotta get through them.